Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We are going to look at one last story before I turn this over to Pastor Edwin to pray. But Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And it's a miracle that took place, but it's a miracle that we may be able to relate to more than some of the others that are in the Word of God. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the Word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. And he said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' And they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." And they were professional fishermen who had fished all night. They had worked hard, and they had caught absolutely nothing. You know, and I think everyone can relate to what it means to work hard for something and to see little or no results from the fruit of your labor. And I'm sure some of the pastors here, more than anyone, can relate to investing your time and energy in prayers and yet not seeing the fruitfulness that you were trusting God for. And here they had worked hard. They had done all that they could, but they had failed to catch any fish. This was their livelihood. This was how they provided for their families. You can picture that in coming up to shore and washing their nets, that they felt that they had not had the best of nights. You can picture men who were discouraged, were disappointed. Their expectations had not been met. And so it's a message, really, and it's the prelude to a miracle for those that have tried their best and feel like you've come up short. You know, and that can be in so many areas of life where you feel like you're giving your all. You feel you're doing the things that God has called you to do. This is not like they needed a lesson in fishing and they were fishing wrong. They were doing their very best, but they had caught nothing. And so often we go to those times when we feel like failures. We've tried our best and we come up empty-handed. And Jesus comes up to them, and after the session where Jesus speaks, he talks to Peter and he says in verse 4, and I want you to listen to this in the context of God wanting to do a miracle in your life, and God wanting to cause you to be fruitful, and God wanting you to reap a harvest greater than you have ever seen or could ever imagine. They had tried, they had done their best, and in verse 4, Jesus said, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a draft, for a catch." You know, can you imagine just cleaning all of your nets? Picture nets that are filled with seaweed and that have all of this yucky stuff on there from the sea that has to be cleaned before it dries in the hot sun and ruins the net. And so they had come back. They had worked all night. They were tired. They cleaned their nets. And Jesus said, Peter, I want you to take your nets. I want you to load them into the boat again. I want you to go out into deeper waters and cast them out. And I can picture Peter's thinking, okay, so we're going to go out in the time when nobody catches fish. We're going to go out instead of at night when the fish are caught. We're going to go out during the day. We're going to have to clean our nets again. Lord, are you crazy? Do you know what you're talking about? You can almost Peter picture wanting to respond to God. And I think there'll be times in our lives when God asks us to continue in something. And I want to say it that way. God asks us to continue in something that has not been fruitful. God asks us to be faithful in an area that we have not seen any fruit from. And yet God says, listen, I want you to press on. I want you to continue on. Here's a situation where every circumstance told Peter, it's a waste of time to throw your net again. It's a waste of time to take those heavy nets and to load them into the boat and to try it again. And in verse 5, Peter starts to argue with the Lord. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Tries to convince God that Jesus, that this is a bad idea. And I wrote in my notes when I taught on this, you can picture Peter was tired from being up all night. You can picture Peter was worn out. He just wanted to get home to bed. He had already gone the extra mile when Jesus said, listen, can I use your boat? Will you just cast out a little bit? I want to speak from your boat. He had already gone a little further, and here the Lord was asking him to do even more. And sometimes we want a God who won't violate our being tired. A God who understands when we're worn out and won't ask something more of us. And we want to be so careful that we don't follow a Jesus that we make into a God that only works with our convenience and is concerned with our comfort. Can you imagine if Peter had said, Lord, I'm really sorry, but I'm exhausted. He would have missed out on an incredible harvest. And many of us would justify saying, Lord, I'm exhausted. Lord, I'm too tired to make that phone call. I'm too tired to read that little scripture you're quickening to my heart. Lord, I'm really too tired to pray tonight. Tomorrow, I'll pray twice as much, Lord. I'll give you double tomorrow, but I am worn out. You know, that is in each of us. And we want a God who understands when we're discouraged, who understands when we want to give up. And thankfully, He's not like that. Thankfully, He knows when to push us out into deeper waters, when to make us go after God in a greater way and to go past where we are ourselves. And probably the most important word in this entire story, and I love in this particular one, the King James. After Peter says, listen, Lord, we've worked hard all night, we haven't caught a thing. The King James has Peter saying this, nevertheless, it's your word, Lord, because you say so, we'll let down the nets. And that word, nevertheless, is probably the key to the whole story. It's the Lord's word overtaking, overcoming, being more important than the circumstances of each of our lives. Peter knew fishing, but he obeyed the Lord. When the Lord said, cast out, Peter did not give in to that. It makes no sense. It makes no sense for me to hold this meeting, Lord. No one will come. It makes no sense for me to reach out to this family, Lord. They've rejected me every time I talk to them. Lord, it makes no sense to do this or that. We can reason out what is going on, or we can say, nevertheless, because you said so, Lord, I will do it. See, God had a miracle for Peter greater than he could ever have imagined. It was a catch of fish that his boat began to sink when he took it in. See, if we give in to our tiredness, if we give in to our failures, see, they had fished all night and caught nothing. You know, maybe your church has not grown the way you have hoped that it would. Maybe there's not been the breakthrough spiritually in prophecy or in worship or in another area. And maybe you're tempted to just give up and say, why try that again? Why try that again? But follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. God told Peter, listen, I want you to go out into deeper waters. And Peter had a choice of making an excuse or responding to God. And you and I have to take God at His word, like we saw the royal official. When God prompts us to do something, God is looking for our obedience. What does Acts 5:32 say? God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. And there's an aspect of the miraculous, and it's trusting God at His Word. It's following God when we don't understand. We need those nevertheless experiences when you and I choose to obey God. And for someone here, I think this is really important. Regardless of our past failures. When you and I choose to obey God, regardless of our past failures, in the same area. He failed at fishing. They caught nothing. But he obeyed God and went out in even worse circumstances in the heat of the day and caught a miraculous catch. God did the impossible. God did the miraculous. But Peter had to obey. You know, we know Paul talks about forgetting those things which are behind. And there is an aspect of the miraculous that if we have failed in the past and fallen short, we're going to have to be able to look past that and to ignore that and walk in obedience to what the Lord said. A nevertheless experience in our Christian lives where in situations where we want to give up, we press in and we obey the leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit. We say, nevertheless, the Lord is able to meet my need. Nevertheless, my God is able to do a miracle. My God is able to do more than I can ever hope or imagine. And we go past that and we begin to obey. I read it earlier, Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You know, and I look at this miracle. I look at Peter responding to God when it made no sense. And that response was the key to a harvest. And I pray that there will be a harvest of souls in some of our churches as we refuse to give up, as we take Jesus at His Word, as we believe Him for the impossible things that He's longing to do. Responding to the call to launch out in faith. Responding to the call to go deep into deeper waters in our walk with the Lord. To let go of the safety and security of the shoreline. And to try again because of one thing and one thing only, Jesus has spoken. See, be a person who's driven by what the Lord speaks to you, not by the circumstances of your life, not by what is happening in other people's lives. Peter's faith came through. For as much as Peter went through and for as much grief as Peter gave the Lord, Peter's faith came through. And in this time when there was doubt, when he tried to say, Lord, we've worked all night. You know, at times you and I will try and have a talk with God. And it's okay to stop and say, Lord, you know I've tried this before. But we've got to get to the nevertheless. We have got to get to the nevertheless, I hear you, Lord. You know, when our heart is beating a little faster, because we know God wants us to do something. Lord, I can't believe you're asking me to do this, but nevertheless, I'll try it. Nevertheless, Lord, I will launch out again. Lord, these nets are clean, but that doesn't matter, because all that matters is what you have spoken to my life, and I'm going to choose to believe you. I'm going to choose to believe your promises. He didn't make excuses, but Peter took action. He didn't look at the circumstances. He kept his eyes on the Lord, as we have seen time and time again. He went out from shallow water by the shore to deeper water. And it may be that the deeper water that you and I have to launch out to is a life of greater faith, where we are willing to, as they say, put feet to our faith. We're willing to take action in response to what God says. And I pray that more and more we will hear God's voice. We'll hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way that I want you to walk. And we will respond to that voice in faith. Peter heard God say, you and I will be tempted to compromise our obedience when Jesus calls us to action. We will be tempted to compromise our obedience by the experiences of our lives and by our past failures and shortcomings. And we'll be tempted to be guided by circumstance. And I pray for the grace of God that will enable us to obey, to look to Jesus, and not to look to what is going on around us. I think the vast majority of believers have it in their hearts to trust God, want to trust God with all that's within them, but can't help but look at circumstances. God's calling us to be different. God's calling us to not look at the waves and begin to sink, but to look to Jesus and walk on the water and be above the troubles and difficulties of our lives, and to walk through until we see our miracle. The story goes further, and probably the greatest miracle is they forsook that incredible catch of fish. Look at the end of chapter 5. They pulled their boats up on shore with all that they had, and the Bible records that they left everything and followed Jesus. You know, there's something about in the midst of this miracle that as God does miracles in the impossible, I believe one of the things that we'll all see is that as His grace comes on our lives, we'll feel a calling to walk closer to Him. We'll feel a calling to forsake all and follow Him. And it's probably one of the dangers of miracles. If we think that God releasing the miraculous and the impossible is something that will be just a great blessing and something that we can live the same as we always have, doesn't usually work that way. I pray that as God releases the miraculous, and like in this last little story, where as they obeyed, there was a catch of fish greater than they could ever have imagined, I pray it will move you to forsake all and follow the Lord in a way you never had. I pray it'll move you to a life of faith where you can trust God. You can not be like the rich young ruler who refused to give up everything and held on to it, but you can forsake all and follow Jesus. And rather than miracles that meet the needs in your life, you'll begin to see an overflow of God's power through your life and ministry. I believe God has so much more for us. I believe Peter could never have imagined the size of that catch of fish. Can you imagine what he must have been thinking after beginning to say, Lord, come on now, we fished all night, to a few minutes later or a short time later, two boats are sinking because there's so many fish. To me, that's the God who says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into your heart what God will do for those who love Him. And Isaiah changes it just a little bit and says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor the mind perceived what God will do for those who wait for Him. You know, and I pray that as you allow God to stir your faith, as you begin to see a God who loves you, a God who cares for your every need, some of the miracles we didn't look at, the water changed into wine. It's one of the most beautiful miracles because nobody was dying. Nobody was starving. Nobody was desperate. They had run out of wine, and the person who ran that wedding was going to be mightily embarrassed. And they were going to be ashamed at not having enough for their guests. But that was enough for Jesus. That was enough for Jesus because He so cares about you and I that He wants to meet every need in our lives as we give ourselves to prayer, as we do our part, and as we trust Him in every area of our lives. Amen? I pray when I come back next year that there'll be testimonies and stories of the great things that God has done in your lives. Praise the Lord. Thank you for having me.